Reading the City of Toppenish updated mask regulations. In accordance with CDC and local government regulations, masks are required for unvaccinated and partially vaccinated individuals. For fully vaccinated individuals, masks are optional. Thank you for helping us protect our community and our employees. And now the roll call. Mayor Oakes.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Saavedra. Councilmember Belton.
Here.
Councilmember Seha.
Here.
Councilmember Duval. Councilmember Garcia.
Here.
Councilmember Jimenez.
And Duval is here.
Councilmember Duval.
Here.
All right, we do have excuses from Councilwoman Jimenez and Councilwoman Saavedra to be excused for tonight. I will entertain a motion.
So moved.
I'll second that.
Motion on the floor from Councilman Belton and seconded by Councilman Garcia to excuse Councilwoman Jimenez and Saavedra for tonight's meeting. Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by aye.
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 We'll move on to item two. Oh, any nays? Hearing none, moving on to item two. Sorry, I'm still a little tired. Discussion regarding proposed American Rescue Plan Act funded project.
Mayor, just before we get going too far, if you look on the screen, Mitch Nichols is on the screen. We've given Mr. Nichols a conditional offer of employment for building official and zoning administrator. A real offer. So anyway, he's here to observe and to be attentive to item number three, the discussion regarding proposed revisions to the Toppenish Municipal Code. So welcome, Mitch.
Good evening. Thank you. Okay. Appreciate it.
And he starts on July 16th.
Oh, okay.
Yay.
Welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard again.
And Mitch was here. Thank you. You were here in the early 90s?
Yeah. I started back in 95 and left in early 98. But some of the work that you're currently doing is near and dear to my heart. Lineup project that we did with the Catholic Archdiocese and Beacon Development and building some housing over there back in when I volunteered for Yakima County. So good stuff. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to tonight's meeting.
Okay. What did he do before?
I worked with an outfit called the Housing Foundation in Yakima and volunteered as a community organizer with them. And the Buena project was started with a small grant just for a kind of an exploratory grant through the Yakima County to see what kind of infrastructure could be developed to allow for the construction of new housing in the Buena or Buena area. And the infrastructure challenges were substantial, and it was prohibiting the county from issuing building permits for new construction there. So I worked with one of the churches and a couple of the padres over there to survey all the housing in the community, all the rental housing, to do a housing needs assessment, and to hand that off to Yakima County to provide substance for their grant application for that infrastructure grant, which eventually came through, and the Catholic Archdiocese and Zach Butler Architects developed new housing where the old library was.
So his past experience is going to dovetail great with our Kresge grant with YB Cog and Vicki Baker and Department of Commerce's community programs that we've been kind of rolling out this spring. So once again, welcome, Mitch. Appreciate you being
here. Thank you very much.
All right, so Now we'll move on to item two, discussion regarding proposed American Rescue Plan Act funding project.
Well, thank you, Mayor. I would defer to Debbie Zabel, our Administrative Services Director, to share the information that he's been compiling over the last 6 months.
Yay.
So I did provide council with a summary of what's in this book. It was longer, but condensed it down for your reading pleasure. This is a outline of the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 and the Coronavirus State and Local Fiscal Recovery Funds. And as we all know, that President Biden has enacted the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021, which is a $1.9 trillion economic stimulus bill, and it's aimed to provide immediate economic relief for families. I've provided a list of how the funding is going to be distributed. The numbers on the right are in the billions. And it says at the bottom, non-entitlement units of local government, NEUs, which are cities that have a population of less than 15,000 population. So that is what Toppenish falls under, is an NEU. So NEUs are going to get $9.5 billion to use in a number of different ways, which we'll go into in just a moment. The city of Toppenish will receive $2.4 million, and we will get that in two payments, one in 2021 and one in 2022. The city has already received, we requested and received our first portion already. There are four categories for which the funds can be used, and they are for COVID-19 or negative economic impact. They are premium pay for eligible workers, which we do not qualify under this category because we don't have healthcare workers. For government services to the extent of loss of revenue. So the part of the act included a methodology on how to calculate loss of revenue, which is using your 2019 revenue, allowing for a 4% inflation increase, and the reduction of a number of revenues that you cannot count, which for us is our utility revenue. So when we went through the process and used the calculator that was provided to all the cities, our revenue loss was in the area of court fines and penalties. So as we discussed in the 2021 budget last year, we actually saw an increase in sales tax. We did not see a shortage in revenues, but we did end up with a reduction in court fines, which to the total of $52,000 was our loss of revenue. The fourth item is for investments in water, sewer, and broadband infrastructure. There's been a lot of information on the use of the ARPA funds. There's the final ruling is not anticipated to be complete until July 16th, so we could still see more changes. We're still going under the interim regulations right now. Just like we saw with the COVID-19 money that came from the Department of Commerce, that was daily changing, and we may see more changes come with this. The one thing that the GFOA and the National League of Cities and AWC have been cautioning cities is on page 3, it talks about the ARPA guiding principles, which are to remember that these funds are temporary in nature. It's a one-time, don't establish a program that cannot be funded when the funds get sustained and skip, exactly. And we do want to target them for non-reoccurring expenditures that would have a long-term impact or asset for the city. We do want to be looking out with our other local jurisdictions, particularly YCDA or YDCOG, to see what programs they're going to be offering, and if there's something that council would want to join up with them, that is an opportunity for us to maximize funds. And we don't need to rush into this. We do have until December 31st, 2024. So council can take its time and evaluate how they want to use these funds. Council or staff did put together some uses of the funds. And of course, there are funds that can be used right now. So, and those include, we fall under the category A for the COVID-19 or negative economic impact. And where we run into that is with our utility customers. As you recall, when we did our COVID-19 grant through the Department of Commerce, we could only use that for residential utility payments. But now we can use this for small businesses. We do, as of the beginning of COVID, we are at a total of $185,000 in outstanding utility debt from both our residential and small businesses. I did include a copy of an email from Governor Inslee. Governor Inslee has issued a final utility moratorium, which will expire on September 30th. The city will be required to provide a payment plan to folks who have outstanding utility payments, which we will be bringing back to council at another time, but we do have that in place and ready to bring, well, we're not ready, but we will be bringing it to you. So once September 30th comes and folks that have not entered into a payment plan, they're all going to be sent to collections. So it is to our best interest and to the interest of our community to help them as best we can to offer a utility grant program that will help them to get their utility bills paid off. And that is money that comes directly right back into the city. The next category is loss of revenue, which I explained that we have a loss of $52,000. I'm looking to see if Mallory came on. Did she come on yet?
She just did.
Mallory's been working on this program. The loss of revenue, it does have pretty specific uses, and those uses would... Oh, there you are. Okay. So we could use those to provide services or aid to citizens, and then we can use those on maintenance, pay-go, building. It's our own funds that we would be using to maintain or repair any structures that we have for any of the items listed, the cybersecurity, healthcare services, school, education, police, fire, public safety. We do have one project that would fall in that category, and that would be the re-roof and remodel of the police department. We're at an estimated point of $250,000 for that project, and we could use $52,000 to offset the funding of that. And council did begin 3 years ago in setting aside funds in our capital reserve fund specifically for the repair and maintenance of our general fund buildings. So currently it's planned to spend the funds from that fund to pay for the police remodel and re-roof. So if we were to use the loss of revenue funds, it would just reduce the amount that would come out of that fund by $52,000. The next category that we would qualify to spend money on would be the investments in water, sewer, and broadband infrastructure. And staff has reviewed the water and sewer projects that would be eligible. And to be eligible, it means they have to be projects that would be funded through the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund or through the Department of Ecology.
decision for me.
I'm sorry. That's my machine, sorry. It's working.
So we do have two projects currently that were approved in the 2021 budget, and that was the water meter replacement project, where we would be spending $1.4 million to replace all of our water meters throughout the city. And we would be using a state local loan for that project, which we would be having annual debt service payments from water and sewer for those. This project does qualify for a drinking water state revolving fund loan, so we would be able to use those funds to pay for this project. The benefit of using those funds for this project is we don't have to get a loan. We don't have debt service payments that would be included in an increase in revenue or utility rates for water and sewer. This project is very near and dear to both myself and Rocky because our staff is directly impacted by the failing water meters that we have and the extra staff time that the maintenance crew spends and the utility billing staff spends. Having to reread and recalculate utility bills is pretty significant. So this would alleviate there being a utility increase because of the debt payments, and it would be efficiencies for both utility billing staff and the maintenance crew. The second project... go ahead.
The meters. The meters that were replaced a few years back, because you can drive by and read them and
that was like
stuff
15
like
years ago. And the software is completely out of date for that. And a majority of the meters aren't registering correctly.
I see.
So we have, on an average, four days rereads.
4 to 5 days hand reading, and then 2 days rereading. And we have currently, there's an estimated 800 plus registers that have failed.
Out of 2,400, 2,500.
2,300, yeah. Yep. So, a lot of staff.
So a third are.
So is the new system that we're going to a better system than what?
Yes.
Yes.
And cool thing.
Yeah, and remembering, you know, like with all computers, they're basically disposable equipment now. You're lucky if they'll last 2-3 years. So in 10 years, we'll probably be replacing this system with another system.
So if I can jump in real quick. Sure. So the new meters that we're going to go with are ultrasonic, which means there's no moving parts. It has a pigtail that comes off, and there are 3 to 5 different manufacturers that you can take that register if it fails, and you can plug a new system in, and off you go. So you can change the registers, but not the meters. Currently, we have one brand of meters with one brand of register. That's the only system we can have. This way, we're not bound by that one specific register. And if for whatever reason something happens, 10 years down the road, we unplug them, plug a new system in, and then it's just software and registers, the meters don't get changed. That's
so
the whole goal.
No support for what you currently have.
What's that?
There's no support for what you currently have.
No.
Okay.
Went away.
Yeah. Wow. And just technology moved past where we are, yeah. Unfortunately. You know, the batteries started failing approximately at 10 years, and so we've, over time, have been replacing and replacing and replacing. But we've come to the point of the system is so far gone that we can't keep throwing bad money or good money at a bad problem. It's time to make the system correct. We're going to cut down on read time because everything's going to be read on the water towers. We're going to have antennas. We're going to have on-demand reads. We're going to have notices every morning for alarms for backflow. We're going to have high usage, a leak alarm, anything like that. So our customer service is going to go up by 1,000% because we'll be able to make contact every day with somebody if there's an alarm.
So then the changeout should be a little easier because in the last changeout you guys did,
yes,
you got everything fixed up to where now it's just...
Well, that was 15 years ago, yes.
Yeah, theoretically.
Yeah, theoretically. I'm anticipating 200 setters that will have to be replaced with this project. And so that may be only 200 water services that we have to do. But out of 2,300, that's pretty good.
wonder with this new technology, would our residents be able to log in and read their...
There is actually, you have to pay for it. It's an additional cost as part of the software.
Yeah.
And that is an option. Currently, I don't want to say we're not there technology-wise with our customers, but I think we're getting there. You know, as time goes on, people are getting more adept to being on cell phones or iPads or whatever. So someday that may be a great possibility to have here for people. I just don't think we're at that point at this time.
And staff will be bringing forward in the 2022 budget new financial software, because we have grown beyond our financial software. And part of this water meter replacement project, with using the ARPA funds, we can pay for the utility billing portion and asset management portion of that financial software package. So it would allow us to, you know, get two-fifths of it paid for through this funds. And this the water meter replacement project, you know, it was approved in council's in our budget, so it's a project that we're going to be doing. It's just an option for council to consider using the ARPA funds for, so that we don't have to finance the project and have debt service later on. The next project is a current project, and it's our citywide sewer replacement project. And a requirement from the USDA, which is funding part of that project, is that the entity, us, the city, has to pay $1.4 million contribution, which we have budgeted to do, and that is spending down all of the sewer reserves to the point of we're going to be spending operation money to be able to meet the $1.4 million contribution. Rocky has met with our engineering firm, and we've spoken with USDA, and we can use the ARPA funds to serve as our contribution for that project. So the benefit in doing that would be we would not have to spend our fund reserves down to nothing, and we would be able to have our fund reserves available for future projects that are needed for the continuation of the wastewater treatment plant, which will require funding and debt service if we spend down all of our fund reserves. We do have one more project, which is it's in the water comp plan, but it's listed for a few years down the road. But this is another one that would qualify for a drinking water state revolving fund. It's a water main improvement project that would give us a looped water system and provide extra fire flow for the east side of
combination
town.
Off of
West Second.
West Second Street
over to East First.
There's a water shortage for fire protection over there for industrial water that goes through BioTwine. This would give us an opportunity to maybe partner with BioTwine and Del Monte, connect the two 12-inch lines that are there, bore under the railroad tracks, and make that connection over past what?
East First.
Yeah, East First area, and pick up those older 4-inch water mains that are over there. And that's another opportunity to partner with YCDA and those businesses to offset those costs.
Any landmarks?
Is
that like
Chavito,
Tibah area?
I don't know. You know where where you are? Second Avenue, you go by Sunoco, or not Sunoco, but the can plant there?
Yeah.
Right in there.
Okay.
It'll cross paralleling with the railroad tracks, mm-hmm. and then it'll go under the railroad tracks and then down East First.
So I do, on your hand, I do have a list of the suggested funds to be used for the police department, the utility debt grant, the water meter replacement project, and the city contribution to the sewer project. And this is just to start the discussion. If there's something that comes up in the near future that seems more important than any one of those things, I'm sure we're going to be hearing more from YCDA and from YDCOG. So this is just to bring to your attention, we have applied for, we have received the money. We do need to use it, not until December of 2024, but we do have some immediate needs that we could be using it for now. We would like to request that we do bring back to council at the next council meeting to authorize the use of money to do the utility grant program so we can start getting folks, get their utility bills caught up, and we can start moving on the utility payback payment plan so when September 30th comes, everyone's had enough notice, enough opportunity, so when they go to collection on October 1st, it's not going to be a surprise to them.
October 1st.
Like to get there before October 1st. Mm-hmm. If you remember, I think we had $18,000 in debt mm-hmm. with our CARES money, and I think we were only able to give away about $13,500 mm-hmm. of it because people just didn't respond, mm-hmm. and so they missed out on that opportunity. And it was similar to the food bank had the same mm-hmm. issue. They finally got their $50,000 spent. Mm-hmm. So it's not as easy as it looks.
So we're getting better at spending other people's money.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, even when we did, we worked with YCDA on the small business grants. They were here on the weekends. We had Spanish-speaking people to help and help them fill out the forms. And it was we were really surprised at the low turnout for those.
Two of us.
I don't know. Maybe we need to work better on our outreach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's just, and not everybody has Facebook. Not everyone comes to the city hall or is here during the day when we get report back.
So we do direct mail to those very utility customers. They all received a letter letting them know that they were in arrears, so that we had an opportunity for grant assistance for them. Now we did not give anyone money. We applied the money to their utility bill and
right.
got their
right.
utility bill to
it went towards the debt.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that the money is spent on the debt
right.
and wipes it out.
Yeah.
Yes. And not on some other debt. Or tires.
Yeah. But it's ARPA money
mm-hmm.
in billions.
Mm-hmm.
And one
ARPA, let's call it ARPA. I don't want to call it taxpayers' money.
Remember that you don't know that this money has to be documented well for the auditor. And Debbie says there is one heck of a long report
mm-hmm.
to trail up at the end. So we want to make sure that any and all projects we use this money on is easily reportable
well,
and eligible.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these projects may sift up or sift down. Remember that the every night in the news you hear about the infrastructure plan for water, sewer, and other infrastructures. And we don't know what that money's going to do, if it's going to come out in a reimbursable loan or a grant. And if those projects come in grant, well, hopefully we can be successful and we can use that money for that and use other places. So there's a lot of projects out there, though.
Because I don't think they've even decided what the definition of infrastructure is.
No, they're still
you're right.
still going at it. So.
And one of the things to remember when if you are looking online or reading about different things, this is money that's going to the whole nation. And so, you know, there are states that need assistance with unemployment insurance or, you know, it's going to public hospitals or, so, you know, a lot of stuff doesn't apply to small cities like us. We have just a really small opportunity to use that money where we see, you know, behavioral health and healthcare, and those are not programs that we could participate in. We don't have, you know, the staff or ability to do that. So.
Okay.
That, any questions or?
When would we get audited for this?
Well, that's a good question. it could be after, we could be audited for the first, well, no, I guess since it's in 2024, we will get audited probably in 2025.
I remember reading or listening to the something about it's a, there's a certain dollar amount where they'll be audited pretty soon.
I think it's $750,000.
Yeah. Oh,
so
that's
we're
our,
way all over
that's
that.
That's our federal single audit,
yeah.
And we will have one this year because
yeah.
we do
yeah.
have $750,000 or more of
mm-hmm.
federal projects. So we will be having one in our regular annual audit,
okay.
which is coming up soon. We have our entrance conference, a pre-entrance conference, I think, in 2 weeks. So that's always fun. So. With that, would council be okay with bringing something forward at the next council meeting to start using the funds for the utility grant program
yes.
to start
yeah.
with?
Absolutely.
Okay.
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 We can start
okay.
it on outreach.
Okay. That is great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Discussion regarding the 2021 for the
is Michael Morales on there?
No, he's not.
Okay.
May I?
Well, I guess I'll start on
this. One piece of paper.
Staff
this
is preparing a comprehensive set of amendments to the TMC, and they're related to licensing. Building and land use, and we've engaged Michael Morales from Tenali Development Strategies for to help develop these code revisions and manage the public engagement process. He has a list of the timeline on here, and Michael is a former assistant city manager and community development director for the city of Yakima. He'll also be working with Lean Dietrich of YB Cog to be working with the Planning Commission and the CEPA processes. Anyway, Michael has the expertise to see where we, when he looks at these codes and sees where there's something in the wrong spot, he knows how to correct it to bring it up to date with all the other codes that we have to be in line with, and where else within our TMC we need to make updates. And so that expertise is invaluable to see how that, where all those corrections and additions need to be made, and it'll make it easier for the city to use these codes and be more efficient in that use. So,
yes. Did you want to talk about the ADUs or anything?
Yeah. So, we thought Michael Morales would zoom in, but kind of the meat of the project is there's two main areas we want to focus on, and one is the rental and rental license code in the TMC. It's rather outdated, and it doesn't mesh with kind of current practices. Originally, that was set up with a rental licensing and then rental unit inspection program. And the inspection program basically went dormant. And so what we want to do is to bring to council a package of code amendments that would update the rental license program and then implement a rental unit inspection program that would be in compliance with current state law. And currently, the current TMC is not in sync with state law, so that's one part of the project. And then you have on here business license code revisions. Currently, the rental license program is in the business license chapter and intertwined. So to take care of the rental license code, we need to break that apart so that the business license stands by itself. And then the rental license is not intertwined in that code, so it doesn't create conflicts. The third bullet item here is accessory dwelling unit code development.
Currently in the new municipal code, we do not have accessory dwelling unit regulations. So what an accessory dwelling unit is, would be a secondary residence in a residential zone. Right now in R1 and R2 zones, you're only allowed one residence on a parcel. But there's quite a few properties in town that have, and it ranges from, accessory dwelling units that were in existence before 1964, and they're nice little cottage rental apartments. And then they range from illegal ones that are habitable to rental units that no one should be living in. You know, they've got an extension cord and a garden hose for their utilities.
Yeah.
So what the bringing that into the Top Nation Municipal Code would provide code enforcement, but mostly it would bring regulations. So when they call me as your permit person, and someone wants to remodel the garage into an apartment. You know, right now I have to tell them, no, you can't do that. But if we have that code that says, well, if you meet this criteria, you have off-street parking, you know, utilities into the building, and can make it habitable, then we could allow that to occur. So that's kind of a synopsis of the project that we're working on. As Lance said, we'll be working with YVCOG, going through the Planning Commission where necessary. And then there's kind of a rough outline. The goal is to have this to council and approved by the end of the year. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Well, I know we're already paying YVCOG to assist us in a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a contract for Michael.
It's by the hour.
So it's, I know it's got to be budgeted, or you wouldn't do it, but do we have an estimated cost?
I don't know the
I want to say it was 10. 10,000? 10.
So just one concern that I have, we already have a housing problem in Toppenish. There's not enough houses or places for people to live. I just want to make sure that this will not cause people to be homeless, but maybe some kind of partnership with a homeowner that has these illegal dwellings to help them bring them up to
right. And that's one of the things that Michael was looking at would be funding for these units or dwellings that maybe needs a new roof or needs some minor repairs to bring it up to code. He was looking at that exact thing because that's unless it's an extreme circumstance, we wouldn't want to force somebody to not live in one of these places. Mm-hmm. But
but the issue is if you're going to change the TMZ. Mm-hmm. And they're illegal or not up to standard,
right.
You can't let it continue because then the liability
exactly.
Issue is with the city.
Exactly.
So you know, you can only work so much with these
right.
People.
Right. Yeah.
So
well, yeah,
that's a slippery slope that
yeah.
You...
You have to think of the safety of the people that are living there
right.
Because we end up going to these things that they're burning up because of the things they're doing and...
Like they were saying, you've got an extension cord running to a building,
yeah.
And an extension cord's not made to handle that kind of power.
No, several extension cords are plugged into each other going underground
right.
And stuff.
Yeah,
and
or, you know, the they're not hooked up to, they don't have a bathroom.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
No toilet.
Yeah.
That's
I'm just saying, though, that
yeah.
The liability issue
exactly.
Is once we make it part of the TMZ, then you have to act on it. You can't just look the other way or
right.
Say, well,
yeah.
Continue
but,
this.
But to your concern,
you
that's one of the areas that Michael is well aware of. And, there's quite a few cities that are ahead of us, have already have put this into their code. So that's a consideration as we implement it. You know, we have to be cognizant of that.
So as we update our TMC to make it safe for our residents, we also remember we're having the Kresge grant with YVCOG. that's looking into the need for additional housing. And we're also partnering with community block development. And remember back in the 90s and the 80s, and so I think into the early 2000s, there was programs that we did all the rehab for the homes. And so that this will give us, if we do this first, then we have a need and a qualify. And then at the same time, we're doing a survey and working with these other programs. We're lining ourselves up for another opportunity to go after that. And a lot of our 170 money is recycled money.
Right.
I guess that's not the right term, but it's money that revolves back into our community and into our budget. So it's all a grand scheme where they all have to work together. So, and you see, it's a kind of a Michael has a pretty good timeline here. It starts on today for intro to council, what we're kind of doing now. On the 20th, we'll do a presentation to the Planning Commission. Then on the 16th and the 17th of August, they'll do the same thing, workshop presentations with the proposed amendments to City Council and the Planning Commission. And then community outreach and stakeholder meetings. I'm sure that will probably go hand in hand with what we're doing now with Kresge and Department of Commerce. And then October 20th, Planning Commission approval. And then on November 1st, City Council workshop. And on the 8th, City Council approval. That's right in the middle of budget.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if those are in stone, but they're at least they're in ink.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty aggressive timeline for a project this big. So
anyway, that's kind of the recap and the intro to the revisions to the TMC. So, any questions for Victor?
I do. I will add, though, that when Mitch starts, then we will start our recruitment for our code enforcement officer. So we're going to have, you know, a team of three that is going to be able to really focus on getting this area put back together and to keep it, to be able to sustain it. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 4, which is the Texas section.
State the purpose and the time and the please.
Shall be ordered 42.30.11.0G. Proposed to evaluate the qualifications of an applicant for public employment. Time should be about 10 minutes, and no action taken at this time. And that will
stay. Is Sabrina stays?
No.
No, everyone leaves.
Do I need to give you the times that we
yes.
Do our executive session? Yeah, we went into executive session at 5:44. We came out at 5:54. And now we're ready to open back up our regular study session.
Close it.